Welcome in to the newest episode of the Hoth Hangout Podcast. Glad to have you here with us, joining us for episode 107 of the pod. And it's all about Skeleton Crew today, as it probably will be for the next 7 weeks as well. Exciting time to be a Star Wars fan, getting to talk about this new show, of course. Going to be all in today's episodes, talking about the breakdown of the first and second episode of this series. Before we get into that, I want to give you a quick reminder that if you're not yet subbed to the Hoth Hangout Podcast, check us out on YouTube for the video version of the podcast, as well as the reactions to all of our latest Star Wars shows, including our reactions to Skeleton Crew, which at the time of the release of this episode on YouTube, the first episode of our reaction to the first episode, there's the words, are also available on YouTube, and our second reaction to episode two, I should say, will be available later this weekend. Additionally, you can contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com with Star Wars thoughts or questions, and we'd love to showcase them on the podcast. You can also find us on both Apple and Spotify and anywhere you get your pods. And if you're listening on a platform that allows you to leave a five-star review, leave a five-star review on the podcast. We'd appreciate it very much. And it also allows it to be more easily discovered by other people that love Star Wars as well. We're on Instagram, TikTok, and X on each of the socials at Hoth Hangout on those platforms. You can find the link to the Hoth Hangout community Discord server down in the show notes of today's episode. And we are moving right into the conversation today with our viewer teaser question. Did you enjoy the premiere of Skeleton Crew? What were your thoughts on the first and second episodes of the show? I think it's safe to say that the reception was probably, maybe more than just probably, a lot warmer than the reception to The Acolyte, Joey, but what were your thoughts after the first and second episodes of Skeleton Crew?
Well, I think if I'm not mistaken, I think the Rotten Tomatoes score was fresh. I think it was 94% or something like that. So I think it's hitting the fans right in the feels, and the vintage retro feels, because that's what it did for me. And I thought it was a fun time. We're going to talk a lot about some questions that we had, and you know, a little bit of the, you know, deeper discussions on some of the characters. But this is kind of exactly what I was expecting from it, really.
It's actually up to 95%, jumped 95%? Another percent. Yeah, that's pretty incredible. I can't remember. Well, no, actually, now that I say that, probably most Star Wars shows recently. I was going to say I couldn't remember the last Star Wars show where the audience score was lower than the critic score. And then I thought about it and I was like, wait, that's
exactly probably what it is.
That's probably most Star Wars shows recently.
Right.
But the audience score is actually really high as well. It's in the mid-80s right now at 84%, I believe, when I checked.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ruin it,
Star Wars fans. Don't ruin it. Sit back and enjoy.
Sit back and enjoy. I mean, that's kind of the vibe about this show. I think the feedback that so many people are giving is that, you know, it just feels good to have this 80s style, you know, a little bit of a mystery, a little bit of a childhood adventure sort of a story. It feels low stakes, which is why I think for the majority of people it's felt enjoyable, because it's not like, oh, you're going to break the lore, you're going to ruin this, or, you know, that character doesn't do that thing. It's like all brand new characters learning about this new planet. You know, there's so many unknowns with this show. We'll talk a lot about them today, but I think it's pretty safe to say that the first two episodes were pretty widely successful. I think especially the first episode was fantastic. But we'll talk about both of them here today. During the next 6 to 7 weeks, each time we're doing our podcast episodes where we'll be reviewing the episodes for that week of Skeleton Crew, we're going to forego news segments for the coming weeks during the Skeleton Crew timeline and skip straight ahead to viewer comments from our recent episodes. Last week, we did our one week away preview of Skeleton Crew. Had a couple comments we wanted to showcase from those of you listening to the podcast or watching it on YouTube, I should say. One from John Locke said in response to last week's podcast, "Nowadays we all expect the worst, so not hard to exceed that, but I'm still looking forward to watching this with my kids." Maybe. Yeah, I mean, that kind of is, I guess, a rightly pessimistic way to look at Star Wars. Is that fair to say?
I mean, like, it's I understand the where they're coming from.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of just the sentiment amongst many fans nowadays, sad to say. But this is a great family show. Like, if I was going to like pick a show that I thought, you know, like every single kind of a person in a family would be able to enjoy, it might end up being Skeleton Crew. It just feels like a show for the whole family, and excited to see what the rest of it has to offer too. And we also had another comment from Flux Crazy Gaming. Flux Crazy Gaming said, "I don't normally tune into any podcasts." Well, welcome, by the way, we should say. So this is new for me, but I appreciate the chill tones and vibes for this thus far, as it starts due to my stress and anxiety not always being balanced. I'm very excited for the show. Same with my mom. We've been watching each trailer and teaser. Bought a bunch of drinks and snacks for both me and Ma when it's going to be. We've also been watching Stranger Things in the meanwhile as we're waiting for this release. May the force be with you always. Shout out to you, Flux Gaming, Flux Crazy Gaming. I hope you and your Ma enjoyed the premiere as much as Joey and I did. And is there a new season of Stranger Things that just came out? When did the new season come out, Joey? Do you know?
Oh, I'm not even sure. I'll be honest, I don't even remember if I watched the last season, which is season 4. Is the last season season 5? Is that where we're at now?
Season 4 was the most recent one, and I know I've seen that. Mm-hmm. Season 5 comes out next year, but I don't see
a date
anywhere.
Well, I got to say, I think this is the right move to watch something like Stranger Things going into this show here. Yeah. So very much the same aesthetics, very much the same style of, I don't know, just the tones and everything. It just feels very 80s. So I think that's a good call by Flux Crazy Gaming. But yeah, welcome in, and thanks for the new sub to the channel.
Yeah, definitely. Welcome in. And appreciate the comment about the chill tones and vibes. That's what we go for, you know?
I like when you said that, you lowered your voice even a little bit more chill and more vibe, you know what I mean?
We're here for the chill tones and vibes. A last comment we wanted to showcase is from Anthony, YouTube fan. Welcome back in, Anthony, a frequent watcher of the podcast. Oh, gentlemen, you know I'm excited for Skeleton Crew. I've loved the most recent marketing for the Disney Plus series. As I suspected, the series will be a love letter to first-generation Star Wars fans and all the Star Wars fans who came after. Seeing the director's discussion on YouTube made me feel even more excited and confident about the quality prospects for this Mando-verse tale. These folks know what they're doing, unlike a very recent fever dream of a Star Wars miniseries that we were subjected to.
Hmm.
And I absolutely agree. The Ninth Jedi needs to continue. Honestly, if a full-length animated Star Wars picture were to be released in theaters, I would most definitely want a two-hour follow-up to the excellent 20-minute first Star Wars Visions short film. That's right, because in that episode, we also did a little segment in our news portion about the new announcement of Visions Season 3. Anthony went on to say, "Without question, I care more about and I'm more intrigued by those characters than the ones from the sequel trilogy. Right after finishing it, I immediately imagine this story takes place 200 years after the sequel trilogy, that the person Margrave Juro is taking Kara to help find her father is the general of Mandalore." Man, the lore that Anthony's coming up with.
Anthony is killing it right here.
Yeah, I love it. 275-year-old Mandalorian Jedi Din Grogu. that would be perfect. I actually want a multimedia campaign for the Ninth Jedi comprising of a novel, a comic series, and a feature film. Happy Thanksgiving, guys. Happy Thanksgiving, to you, Anthony. Yeah. Hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I guess this is our first episode since the last episode came out on Thanksgiving. So, yeah, once again, happy Thanksgiving. And
yeah, Anthony, good luck on your application to Lucasfilms with this comment, actually.
I need the full-length Ninth Jedi fan fiction that we can then submit to Lucasfilm, like you said, Joey.
Mm-hmm.
But we appreciate your comment. And, side note, Vision Season 3, stay excited for it. No release date officially yet. Hopefully May the 4th. Going to be around the corner soon. We asked you in last week's podcast episode, will you be watching Skeleton Crew? 82% of people on YouTube said yes. 100% of people over on X said yes. So I think it's safe to say that the decision to watch has been a good one, at least up to this point. Knock on wood, I don't see the trajectory of this show going downward, you know, too much at the very least. But I think there's a lot to be excited about, and much to be said that the majority of folks who responded to these polls are also of the same mind, and that they're going to be watching it, and hope those that said yes enjoyed the episodes as we did. So that about does it for our polls and viewer comments, and we're going to move just directly into our discussion of the first two episodes. We've touched on kind of the themes so far about it being, you know, Goonies-like, 80s feeling, all these different sort of homages to what film maybe used to be 30, 40 years ago. So I guess to start with some of the characters of the show, the two most lovable friends, Wim and Neil, especially Neil. I said it like a couple mm-hmm. times during our reaction. Neil is like pole vaulting, catapulting, whatever the verbiage is, his way into like my list of 10 favorite Star Wars characters yes. already. He is just so fun. He provides humor that doesn't feel forced. Because it's coming from a kid, it doesn't feel, again, forced or weird. It's just like this lovable kid who, like, you know, is a little bit oblivious, but that's part of why you love him. Mm-hmm. And then the main character, the actor who's playing Wim, is actually really great as well. I don't mean to like only say that Neil's good. I think they're both amazing. I think I just mm-hmm. kind of have that particular oh, yeah. love for the character of Neil. What do you think about these two guys?
Yeah, I feel the same sentiments with Neil as well. But, you know, to go over to Wim, you know, he is kind of the main character. You know, you see a lot of his vantage point of what's going on. And it seems like he's going to be the one that kind of gets them into trouble more than the rest. You know, he's the one that pushed the button. He's the one that found the, you know, what he thought was a Jedi temple, but it ended up being a starship. And, you know, it seems like it's always going to be him. I don't want that to, like, really be his part, if you know what I mean. Like, right. constantly being it. If they traded off between maybe even these two, it would be fine. The other two, I feel like just, you know, they just seem older. So you kind of want them to be more leaders, more, you know, show me the way type of thing. Where these two are, you know, they're, like, more, like, kid-like, more, you know, just amazed by everything that they see. And especially the best part, you know, when they did the lightsaber fight right in the middle of the street there, before their transport came to before going to school. So I think that, you know, these kids are just great. I think this is a good cast. I think they did a really good job with these two. And, you know, and going back to Neil, now that I talked about Wim, going back to Neil, I mean, he's just so funny. And, you know, just the timings there. You kind of expect certain things from him too, and he nails it too when he does it. So yeah, I think they're good actors, and they're very fit for the roles.
Let it be known, by the way, that corny humor works really well when you have talented child actors. I think it usually falls flat when you're having like corny humor from adult actors, and it has a heartwarming sentiment when you allow these really talented kids to sort of mm-hmm. partake in that. I think I kind of resonate too with what you were saying about Wim being the one who's gotten them in trouble up to this point more than once. The thing that bugged me about Wim is there was at least one or two times where he straight up just lied. He's like, I didn't press anything, guys.
But you know? it's so something a kid would do, though. So
right,
I can appreciate, even though maybe, like, you know, morally you don't want to show your kids this and be like, well, you know, see what happened there, you know. But I think that's a very, you know, genuine kid move there.
Yeah, yeah. It was just in the moment. I was like, come on, Wim, you know you pressed that button. But yeah, it is something obviously like a kid would do, like, oh no, I messed up. I can't tell my friends that I messed up, so I'm going to lie. Even if it was just like an in the moment sort of thing. I would add too, I don't see KB, you know, being the person that causes any strife or mishaps within this foursome of these, I don't really know if you would call them friends at this point.
Right.
But this foursome right now, I could see Fern making some sort of like poor decision.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
At some
a little
point
overconfidence
in this show?
At something. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like KB is the cool, like analytical, you know,
almost like calculated. Right. That's exactly what I was gonna say. Like
yeah.
All her moves are calculated. She knows exactly what she's doing, and there's a reason
right.
behind it.
Yeah, Fern is kind of like the bad girl trying to prove her mom wrong vibe.
Mm-hmm.
So she's gonna make a poor decision at some point.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Let me ask you this: who are each of them in like the original trilogy?
Oh, this is a great question. Oh, okay, let's see. So, I don't know if there's a. I'm trying to think of who would be the best correlation for KB, because I feel like she
3PO.
Stands out. Oh yeah, I could see that. Okay, I like that. Fern feels a little bit like Han, maybe.
Yeah, I would have put her with Han also. Yep.
Yeah, like a little bit of a like rebellious, no pun intended, because he didn't want to join the rebels at first, but you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, hey, Neil, I don't know. Maybe Neil is like R2. I'm trying to think of who else is like a lovable,
yeah.
oblivious. Although R2 is not oblivious. I don't
yeah,
know
right.
if
there. I don't know if there's a Neil in the original trilogy.
Like the version of Yoda that we meet at first on Dagobah before we realize he's actually wise, like the
wait,
one who's all goofy.
Wait. Is that foreshadowing? Maybe.
That Yoda is in this show, or that Yoda is related to Neil?
No, that Neil is the actual the one that's going to become on the top as the most wise.
What if?
That we don't
what
even...
if the scene at the end of Episode 2, where we're led to believe that that Jod is like moving this key? What if it's actually Neil
if
the
it's
whole
Neil
time?
Neil the whole, and he didn't realize it. Yes,
that'd be amazing. Oh, that's a good question, though. I think the obvious choice for Wim is Luke. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, wanting to, like, reach beyond the home place that he's from, like, always
mm-hmm.
seeking something outside that's very Luke-esque.
Mm-hmm. Although he wasn't the one that needed the power converters. It was Fern.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. But they didn't have any Tashi Station to go
yeah.
Go pick those up at, though. Did you have a besides the two guys, if you were to, well, I guess let me put it this way. It's really early to know, so it might be an unfair question. And maybe I would imagine it might be really different, you know, 6 weeks from now. If you had to rank the four characters in terms
mm-hmm.
of just how much you enjoy the character, how would you rank them?
I think I would go, obviously Neil would go first.
Yeah.
And you're going to appreciate like the last one here. So I would go Neil. And then actually KB, because I like the techie side, and they're just
uh-huh.
I've always liked that character, just like trying to ground everyone else. So I kind of like that. And then it would be Fern, and then it would be Wim, because
okay.
you know Star Wars and their formula of trying to create heroes. They're kind of a little bit like what are you doing? You know, like you know you've got Luke, you've got Rey, you've got Ezra, you know, and then you just have these people like at Ahsoka even. Like, you're just, like, right at the beginning, you're like, ah. But, you know, give me some time, and I'm sure Wim's going to climb the ladder for sure.
Yeah. On one hand, I find myself shaking my head at Wim, like, come on, buddy. Why'd you make that decision? But on the other hand, I really am enjoying him as a character. I don't know. For me, it would be tough to rank them. I feel like, to be fair, we also haven't got enough from KB, especially, to
yeah.
know more about
the character. She has the thing.
Character.
She has the tech. That's what I always
right.
like those types of things.
Right,
so
like she definitely has
reason.
that coolness factor, that tech vibe. But I hope we get to learn more about her character at some point. She's not just kind of this, you know, supplementary character that doesn't have much of a backstory. But to reiterate, kind of what we've already talked about with the characters, these child actors are really amazing. This is what I think people are going to look at when Skeleton Crew is done and think. Like, this is what makes the show good, is because there's no, I don't want to, I wanted to say there's no standard trying to be met, but I don't want to make it seem like it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, there's, part of it's built into the plot, honestly. It's this hidden secretive planet. There's
mm-hmm.
no other characters we've ever been exposed to, so there's no preconceived notions of like, well, it, you know, this thing needs to fit in this box, or...
Mm-hmm.
Like, if that character does that, that's not what that character would do off of this. It's just new characters. They're fun. They're enjoyable. It's low stakes for the most part. There's also mystery involved, which adds extra layers of intrigue. Yeah. I mean, this is... I can see myself 6 weeks from now, Joey, looking at Skeleton Crew saying, this is the best season of a Star Wars television show. Now, let me add a caveat to that. I think Mandalorian will always be more... Mando Season 2 will always be more of like a... Mando Season 2 is a great Star Wars show. I think Skeleton Crew will be a great show that happens to be Star Wars.
Right, and I think that's a lot of people's sentiment is... Well, I don't know, though, because now that you've brought this AT-AT-N and... the barrier and all of that. I mean, that really is adding, that's adding something, you know, mm-hmm. to the lore. It's adding. So I think we're all going to say that now, but I bet by the end of the season, something is going to like tip us over and be like, actually, remember with Bad Batch, how we were just like,
yeah,
this is fine, you know? But then as we kind of went through the seasons, we were like, oh, this is actually pretty important, you know? I have a feeling that they're going to do something like that with this. And if they do, I would have to agree with you that, you know, it's going to go up there as one of the top seasons of TV of Star Wars TV.
Well, and I think in terms of like timeline stuff, this takes place in the same year that The Mandalorian takes place.
Mm-hmm.
So a crossover at some point in this show is plausible, and I would also make the case that a crossover at some point in a future show or film, if it's Mando and Grogu movie, is more than just plausible. It's probably probable. And with that in mind, I hope that this show doesn't become just like a connecting point to, like, you know, Marvelize this mm-hmm, era mm-hmm. of Star Wars. Like, look, we're bringing it all together. Look how it fits.
Right. But you know, Favreau, you know, Dave Filoni, you know, this being a part of everything,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to just let this be its own thing. You know, this is going to have some type of connection, especially with, you know, let's be honest, the Mandoverse is, you know, Filoni's baby, right? Mm-hmm. Or Jon Favreau's baby. So they're going to want, if this is going to be set in that era, you know, after Return of the Jedi, before, you know, right, Force Awakens, then you know that there's going to be something, you know, that this was on purpose. There's a little bit of planning on it. Maybe it's a one little seed in there, but it's gonna you know, make its way. I mean, look at Acolyte, what it was supposed to be. I mean, you bought Plagueis in it, for crying out loud. You knew that was going to be like a huge thing, but mm-hmm. the unfortunate ending of that. But you know, so I think there's, as much as we keep saying like, oh, this just happens to be in Star Wars universe, I have a feeling that it's going to be more.
I don't mind if they do tie it in. I just don't want, this being tied into The Mandalorian to like,
right.
If this does end up being a really good show, which I feel like it's headed that direction, I don't want it tying it into The Mandalorian to be like, look how we like, great show, we made it into like the side piece mm-hmm. for our main product of Mando and Grogu or whatever.
Right.
But I don't know. It remains to be seen. Do you think we'll see Mando in this season of Skeleton Crew?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm not getting that vibe. Yeah.
Mm-mm. They're not going to pull a Boba Fett in this one, I don't think.
I do think at some point we're going to get a reveal of a character that we are familiar with. Because that just feels like an itch that Star Wars has to scratch in every show that they do. So who that it's going to be, I don't know exactly. Do you have any theories?
Bo-Katan. Let's say Bo-Katan.
I like that. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Like, I mean, because at this point, not really, you know, because if it's like is it starting around season one of Mandalorian? Is that kind of, is that the timeline we're in right here? So Mando, Bo-Katan wasn't really introduced that early on, right? So
right.
You know, so she could be somewhere else. She could be around this area.
Yeah. Kind of back to sort of the theme of the movie being this, you know, almost like homage or love story to films of the 80s, like Goonies is the one that it keeps getting related to. I don't know what it is about that decision, but when it was announced all the way back, I was like, I mean, I'm obviously going to watch this show, but there's nothing about it that when it was announced, I was like, okay, you know, I wasn't as excited as a lot of the other things that they announced with it, like other shows, I should say. And now that I've seen the first few episodes, I feel like I want to go back in time and just say to that version of myself, like, just this is going to be a great show. Just relax. This will be amazing.
Yeah, you put Acolyte above this.
Oh, in terms of what I was most excited for? Yeah, I mean, at the time.
I did too, obviously. Yeah,
yeah. Before it came out, I was way more excited about Acolyte than Skeleton Crew. And I think I can safely say after two episodes of Skeleton Crew, like, this is a... And I don't just mean better in terms of, like, personal preference. I'm saying, like, better in terms of objectively this show is more well-made. The plot makes more sense. The writing is better.
Mm-hmm.
It flows nicely. There's just so many things about this that are superior, I would say, to the quality of The Acolyte. You know, feelings aside about how much you liked or didn't like the show itself. But is there anything in regards to the 80s aesthetic of it that you're hoping to get from the remaining six episodes?
I mean, just the way the way that this is like their adventure, you know, I think that's a huge thing where, you know, you just kind of see it from their eyes. And that's mm-hmm. when, you know, it's what I think of when I think of Goonies or E.T. You know, I think of, you know, the how the world looks from the eyes of like children, you know, in their adventure. I mean, even Wim, you know, was pretty much saying like, you know, I wanted to go out and I wanted to see this adventure. I want to have an adventure. Don't you guys want an adventure? You know? And even in the moment, you know, something that we've seen so many times because we watch Star Wars, when they hit space, they're just like, what are those? Like, they have no idea what stars are, you know, because of the barrier or whatever it is. And they just have no idea. And to see it like up close, I mean, just like little moments like that, you know, because when you're, you know, if you're thinking as an adult and you're writing for children, you have to think as a child, right? So I appreciate those little moments like that where what would a kid say, you know, at this point, you know, if they were in space, you know, especially if they were completely surrounded by a barrier. Oh, what are those? I have no idea what those are. So mm-hmm. just things like that. I think that to keep it genuine to that lens where you could see it from there, I think that's great. And a great thing about this show is also the score. Just very
definitely
80s coded, very, you know, just even the way they, not even like the full, like, you know, orchestra or whatever, but just even little moments when when he's like about to push the button, you know, he's just like, you know, so if you go back and listen to that, it's very similar to something you would hear in the 80s, you know, and
that synth sound.
yeah, exactly. The synth sound. Exactly. So just things like that, just to keep it in that era. But yeah, so yeah, it was, you know, me being a kid of the 80s, I thought it did a great job. And, you know, to even, you know, if it is an homage to all that, those like first generation Star Wars fans, if that's, you know, truly what it is, you know, I feel like that first generation of Star Wars fans have felt a little bit pushed aside over, mm-hmm. you know, the past, you know, few movies, few, you know, shows and all that. So I feel like that's nice to give them that. And I hope that that's what they're feeling as well.
Last thing I'll also say about the 80s, did you see we pointed it out in our reaction, our episode one reaction, the homage to the Star Wars Holiday Special in there.
Yes. I already forgot about that, but yes, that was perfect. I got a little PTSD just watching that again. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just remembered. It all came rushing back.
Yeah, at least they picked a part of the Holiday Special that was not just ridiculous to make an homage to. Like, Like, if we would have had a Wookiee walk on screen with a VR set, I would have been like, oh, no, yeah, where are we headed with this?
Yeah. Or just breaking the song just out of nowhere.
Yeah. Again, if you've never seen the Star Wars Holiday Special and you're a Star Wars fan, do yourself a favor, or maybe it's not a favor, but do yourself some education of what Star Wars could have been at one point in time.
Right, yeah.
It's out there. Actually, we have a reaction to it on YouTube if you want to watch our reaction. It's up there.
It's a good one.
So, yeah, that was an interesting time. Another thing about this show that's interesting is kind of the concept of what the planet is, the home planet of At-Aten that the foursome of kids is from, seems to be like this mythological place of secret treasure to everyone else in the galaxy who's not from this planet. The currency they use that we see is Republic currency, Old Republic currency, I should say, not currency used by the New Republic, indicating that the people of this planet At-Aten are insulated from the rest of the world. Like, this is Old Republic currency, and the show is taking place after the fall of the Empire. And so the fact that the Empire wouldn't have, like, confiscated these credits when they rose to power at the end of Episode 3 and between the third, or between the prequel and the original trilogy, means that this planet and inhabitants may or may not even be aware of the fact that there was an empire. Like, they may think that the Republic is still, you know, just kicking and doing well. And that also begs the question that we wanted to kind of talk about a little bit is that, I mean, what's your opinion on this, Joey? Do you think the citizens, maybe what level of awareness do the citizens have about what goes on outside this barrier that seems to both shield people from coming in, but also keep them from going out?
I have a couple of thoughts on it. So the one thought is, you know, they have, Wim has that data pad that has a lot of, like, stories from the Jedi or from the Sith. And I don't read Erebus, so I don't know exactly what any of those are about, but it seems like there are, you know, there are stories going out. Now, can I say, and you even mentioned there's one that kind of looked like maybe Luke and a Rancor, maybe, I don't know, you know. So if that's the case, then yeah, then they do know that, you know, of all the things that are happening outside of their planet, outside of the barrier. Now, here's my crazy conspiracy thought.
I love these.
Something that, and if you want to go 80s, this is very 80s, is not where is this planet, but when.
Oh, we're doing some Lost stuff here.
Yeah,
some
Lost stuff,
timeline.
some Back to the Future, whatever, right? So is it possible that we're not talking about, you know, the people don't know, you know, that, or they don't believe in, you know, where At-Aten is, or, you know, even, because even the droid Shmi had no recollection of it, and these droids know all of this stuff. And so what does that mean? Either it never existed, or maybe it was, like, you know, before its memory bank or whatever. So, you know, there are a couple of thoughts there, but I like jumping into these, like, really outlandish ones. So maybe it's not a where question, but when.
Like, the barrier passing in and out of it, like, transports you to a different time is what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
I could be game for that. It's not dissimilar to stuff that we've seen in Star Wars in the past few years with The World Between Worlds and Ahsoka and the end of Rebels Season 4.
Mm-hmm.
What if Skeleton Crew is the connecting point
for
The World Between Worlds storyline?
There it is. The what we did not think was going to be it. Just like cloning and Bad Batch. This is The World Between Worlds.
Yeah,
and, Skeleton Crew.
They're gonna release like a retroactive episode of that scene where, you know, Ezra's fighting the Emperor in The World Between Worlds, and you're gonna look through one of the little portals, and you're gonna see, you know, Wim and Neil just running around in the background.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what level of awareness the citizens have. Here's a question: Do you think the citizens of At-Aten and the government, whoever is like the government leaders of this planet, do you think they are have the same level of awareness of what goes on outside the barriers.
No, I think the government probably knows a little bit more. I mean, we saw like the usage of like security droids like all over the place.
Yeah.
It just seems like a very locked down type of arena. I did see something, a video I was watching. I don't know if you watched Screen Crush on mm-hmm. YouTube. But yeah, they were doing their Easter egg thing, and I was looking at it. And they were talking about how, and we even mentioned it during the reaction, is like these kids are taking a test that is basically going to just, you know, give them the, you know, this is the rest of your life here. Very similar to like what you saw with the clones when they were mm-hmm. on like, you know, Kamino. You know, just kind of that kind of same setup, like all the kids in one spot. And so if it's something like that, you know, obviously the Old Republic, if you want to talk about that, it's very, very Old Republic type of, you know, way of learning, if you will. So I think it's possible that they just go that way where it's just not, they're not exactly, where's my thought? They don't exactly know what they're kind of fighting for. Almost, they're just like we're here to do a job. Because I mean, that's kind of what they're doing. Like, we're here to do a job, and that's the ultimate goal is for all of them on that planet. Is, and I forgot they even mentioned it. They gave a term for it.
Oh yeah, like the great work or something.
Yeah, the great
like
work.
That.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So something like that. So I mean, that sounds very, you know, militarized almost. Like, it's just like, okay, this is what we need to do, and you know, each person will have their job for our world.
It almost sounds like a little bit like to put it in our like real world, you know, ideologies, it almost sounds a little bit like communistic.
Yeah,
can
yeah.
I say that?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Like we're all just working for the great work, you know. It sounds that way. I mean, obviously, the planet doesn't appear that way because it's like dystopian and whatever. But I don't know. That was like a thought that came to my mind when I heard the great work. I was like, huh, I wonder what that is. Like, who's the person in power, and what does great work mean to the person who is in the position of power in this show? Maybe we'll find that out next episode. Maybe we won't. Something that we definitely will be finding out next episode is more about who Jod actually is and who Captain Silvo is. Captain Silvo, by the way, the intro to the first episode was really fun.
Yes.
I liked the pirate aesthetic. I liked the vibes of that. I feel like it's really telegraphed that Captain Silvo is Jod. I don't think they're trying to like hide or conceal that. Like, yes, it will feel like a quote unquote surprise, but it feels like a surprise that's like, well, yeah, that's
yeah, we all know.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I don't think they're really trying to conceal that from us. I think the bigger secret is he actually a Jedi?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see him at the end of the episode using the Force to move the key.
Or it was Neil. Maybe it was Neil using the Force.
Maybe it was Neil using the Force. that would be like such a fun. Were we talking about that on the podcast, or was that before the podcast?
No, that was on. Yeah, we were.
That was on.
Yeah. We were just talking about
it's,
that. Yeah,
it's been a long week, let me tell you. And it's only Wednesday that we're recording this. Yeah, because you and I were having a short conversation before the podcast too. We do pre-podcast before the podcast.
Right, yeah, and then at some point we're like, you know what, we have to save it for the podcast.
Yeah. No, I that would be fun if it was one of the four kids who ends up being the one who actually moved the key. So yes or no, I know I'm leaning towards no, just because I feel like it's too on the nose for him to show up. He's been in this cave, and like the first thing he does is like just out himself as a Jedi to these kids. Yes or no, is Jod actually a Jedi?
I don't think so. I mean, if he goes back and he is Captain Silvo, not very Jedi-like, you know. I don't think that would be. So I'm kind of depending. I'm basing my opinion based off of that, assuming that Captain Silvo is also Jod.
Yeah, let me rephrase that question. In that case, is Jod a Force user?
Oh yeah, I think so. I mean, I would think. To have a show in Star Wars universe and have him do this, you know, if he gets the key, and him not have the Force user, it would just be dumb. Like, why would you do that? Why would you put yourself, the show, in that situation? I feel like that wouldn't be a good call.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking.
I mean, the only thing I would think of like that did do that was when, was that in Obi-Wan where
there's like, a lot of things about that show.
Wasn't it in Obi-Wan? Well, I can't remember the character's name, but it was Kumal. He was pretending to be a Jedi.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And he had like all these tricks, whatever, to make it look like he was a Jedi.
I don't think
this is that, because you don't want your lead, one of your leads, to be like a joke. You know what I mean? So I don't think, or like a con artist, because that would be essentially a con artist, right? To pull off something like that. So I don't think that's what they would go, especially with a kids show. So that's why I would say he is a Force user because of what he did in the second episode.
Okay. I am on the fence on this, actually.
Really?
I think the direction where I could see this going is like from the perspective of Wim. Wim is like, I just want to explore. I want to go on this adventure. I want to meet Jedi. I want to, like, you know, I want to do the things that I'm playing with my best friend Neil out in the universe. And they meet this guy. He seems like he's a Force user. Like, oh, is this guy a Jedi? I just feel like there's almost like a little bit of a, like, too good to be true element from the perspective of Wim. Like, he's clearly going to look up to this guy. He's going to immediately idolize him. Like, oh my gosh, this guy just moved this key without touching it using the Force. And I just feel like it's setting it up for there to be this conversation, like, 3 or 4 episodes from now, where he puts his hand on Wim's shoulder and he's like, you know, in the Harrison Ford kind of way, hey, kid.
Yeah.
I'm not actually a Force user. Or I don't know. That's just kind of what I'm spitballing right now. I'm definitely on the fence, though. I could see them going either way with it.
How would you explain the key move, then?
I that's the thing. I think if they had to explain the key moving, there would be some other either person moving it or trick to it that, again, it just doesn't, like, it doesn't make a ton of sense in the 30 seconds of it that we got.
You're right.
Like, he's in this cave. He's been there. You know, these 4 kids show up and he's like, all right, now's the time to break out. And is like, maybe you mentioned, maybe it's because they have a ship. Could be. I mean, if this guy is actually a powerful Force user, you know, why does he need to wait for, you know, 4 kids to show up with a ship in order to escape? I don't know. Something just seems off about it that he would wait to reveal that in front of them while he's been in the cave already. It just seems something's not 100% right there. But and I don't even know if we'll get that answer probably next episode. I wouldn't think so either.
Yeah, they're going to drag that one out a little bit longer.
Yeah, but that would probably be one thing I'd be most interested in hearing feedback from those of you listening and watching, too, is not only did you enjoy the premiere, but like, what do you think of the character of Jod, especially? Like, who is he? Where do you think they're going with his character? Like, is he a Jedi? Is he not? Is he a Force user? Is he not? I mean, on the surface, I think he does look like a Force user right now. Definitely less certain that he's a Jedi. But those are all kind of, you know, questions that are up in the air right now with the character. And it provides that element of intrigue and mystery that this show has going for it. One of the most positive things about it, I would argue. I'm so excited for this show in a way that I didn't expect to be, Joey. I don't know. How are you feeling going into episode 3 next week?
I mean, I'm looking forward to it. You know, I wasn't not looking forward to the premiere because it's new Star Wars, but I think I had my expectations pretty low. Where, you know, like, listen, I know that this is, and, you know, kind of what we were saying, this is a story that happens to take place in the Star Wars universe. I was very much expecting that. And without really understanding what that meant, though, you know, just because it's just a story doesn't mean it's not going to be a good story, right? So I think that to have that distinction now, that we have an enjoyable story, I think now the sky's the limit. Now my expectations raise a little bit. It could be dangerous in a Star Wars television show, but, you know, I'm here for it. I will roll with these kids and see how it goes.
Yeah, me too. I'm pumped. And by the way, because the next episode of this show is coming out on a Tuesday and not a Monday like the premiere two episodes did, this is technically the longest we've ever had to wait between the release of Star Wars episodes in a ongoing season of a show. Like that whole extra day, what are we going to do with ourselves?
I have no idea. Take a nap.
Got to
travel
wait
the world
instead of seven this time. But we would reiterate once again to all those of you watching and listening, did you enjoy the premiere of Skeleton Crew? What do you rate it on a scale of 1 to 10? Actually, I mean, this is a question for you too, Joey. What do you rate it on a scale of 1 to 10?
Oh, boy.
I think I've got my ranking.
You got your ranking? Oh.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Yeah, what's your ranking? Let me think about this a little bit here.
If I was to rate it overall, I would probably say 8.5. And I'm room for growth there. I think episode 1 was a 9. Mm-hmm. I think episode 2 was an 8.
Yeah.
So average it at 8.5 for
me. That's good. Yeah, I would probably put it, I'm not going to split it like hairs like this much, but I'd probably give 8.5 to episode 1 and then 8 to episode 2. So 8.25, I guess, to the average, but just because I feel like there's a lot more,
right.
I think there's a lot more. And we've talked about it before whenever we do these grades of, each show kind of has its own curve, right? So
I was going to say the exact same thing. Like, this is not like the scale of like Star Wars. This is the scale of Skeleton Crew. Like, it was really well-made first two episodes.
Right.
And it's hard to put that on the same scale as Andor, or Ahsoka, or Kenobi, or all these other shows, Acolyte.
Exactly. But,
yeah, I like those rankings. Yeah. Let us know, those of you listening and watching, what do you think the show was? If you want to do each episode individually, feel free to do that too. Let us know down in the comments or on the socials. And on next week's episode, we're continuing along with our weekly synopsises, breakdowns, and recaps of the episodes as we receive them. Episode 108 of the Hoth Hangout podcast will be covering everything that was given to us in the third episode of Skeleton Crew, releasing on Disney Plus on December 10th at the time of the release of this podcast in 5 days' time. So stay hyped. Stay excited for the release of the next episode. Again, not to seem like a Debbie Downer, but we are already 25% of the way through this show. I'm telling you, I say it every time they release one of these silly 8-episode shows. Give us at least 10.
At least 10.
Ideally 12, but at least 10. I need at least 2 more episodes, please, in future shows. That would be my only critique of Skeleton Crew so far, probably, is that I want more episodes of it. Not that there's any Disney execs listening right now, but
I'm sure one's subbed. One's a sub here.
On the off chance that anyone listening has any sway with anyone connected to the decision making process.
Yeah, let's just connect up with Anthony YouTube. Maybe sounds like he's got some ideas.
Yeah, he'll have the in at Lucasfilm with his story writing capabilities. But we look forward to watching episode 3. Once again, if you haven't watched our reaction to episode 1, that's available on YouTube now. Episode 2 will be available likely on Friday this week, December 6th. And speaking of YouTube, if you're not yet subscribed there for the video version of the podcast, as well as our reactions to all Star Wars shows, including the reactions to each episode of Skeleton Crew as it comes out, hit the subscribe button on YouTube. We'd appreciate it. We are now getting closer and closer to the 500 mark, which would be a huge milestone for us. 37 subs away from that. So we'd really appreciate it. If you're not yet subscribed, head on over there and hit that sub button. You can contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com with your Star Wars thoughts or questions, and we'd love to showcase them on the podcast. You can find the Hoth Hangout podcast anywhere you get your pods, including both Apple and Spotify. And if you're listening on either of those platforms or any platform that allows you to leave a 5-star review, leave a 5-star review on the podcast. We'd appreciate it very much, and it also allows it to be more easily discovered by other people that love Star Wars as well. We're on the socials on Instagram, TikTok, and X at Hoth Hangout on each of those platforms. Follow us there for more Hoth Hangout content. And you can check out the Hoth Hangout community Discord server available down in the link. The link is available down in the show notes of today's episode. Lastly, thank you to Gibbo for producing today's video show and assets. who's been feeling under the weather this week. We hope you're feeling better soon, Gibbo, with all the blue or green milk he can find. Ooh, green milk. I don't know. I've never heard of green milk before. Is that a Aussie thing?
Oh, I believe so. Yeah. No, I think the green milk was from wasn't Last Jedi? Isn't that what Luke was drinking?
Is that green, the stuff he drinks in Last Jedi? I thought it was just like moldy blue or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I believe it was also green.
You'll probably be sad to say, to hear that I've still only seen The Last Jedi, I think, 3 times total.
Oh, I'm not sad. I mean, that's that sounds about right. I mean, as much as we've talked about the how we feel about the sequel trilogy, so that number is a little high, actually.
Technically, it's 2.5 because I started watching it with my fiance, and we never watched the second half. We need to do that still, by the way. Christmas break, I'm going to do another little watch through. There you go. Well, Joey, any last thoughts on first and second episodes of Skeleton Crew before we call it an episode?
It was a lot of fun. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Got the 80s vibes that we were expecting. Kind of hit all the notes. So I think we're good. I think we're good with this one. I think we're good. You know, 95%, right? We said on Rotten Tomatoes. I think that's pretty high with 80s and the critics. I've got high hopes for this series, and if they happen to throw in just a little bit of, you know, lore into it, you know, give us a little character, a Bo-Katan, maybe a Grogu, I wouldn't hate it.
Me neither. Let us know, everyone listening, your best theories on Ja Na Na Wood, your best theories on Atten. Let us know what you're thinking and feeling about this show, and we'd love to showcase those thoughts, feelings, and comments on next week's episode. Man, talking today has been off a little bit. Next week's episode of the podcast, we'll showcase those and look forward to hearing from all of you. We appreciate each and every one of you so much for listening to today's episode. Tune into those reactions available on YouTube. And once again, thanks so much for being a watcher or a listener. We will catch you all in the next episode or the next reaction. And until then, may the Force be with you.